AmericanWorkersRadio.com.
You're listening to American Workers Radio, a national network promoting American-made products with your host, Michael Blihash.
Well, welcome once again to another edition of American Workers Radio here on 860 AM. As you know, we serve Philadelphia and the entire tri-state area. So I ask that you go to your telephone, invite family members and friends to tune in here on 860, and if they live outside the Philadelphia and tri-state area, invite them to listen live to the rebroadcast from the link located on the front page of AmericanWorkersRadio.com. Just click on the Listen Live link, and it'll go right to the broadcast. Now, if you received an email this morning announcing today's broadcast, email it to somebody else and invite them to tune in as well. And, of course, you'll be able to get another email after the broadcast and send that around as well. I'm really pleased to see that we have many new people signing up, people who enjoy what we have to say. And please do spread the word, because I believe we hear a lot more things during broadcasts like this than we hear on other news media. You know, this year we have a very special theme. We talked about that last week. And it is support our manufacturers, support America's manufacturers. And the reason we're promoting that this year is if we're not making competitive products in America and selling them to America stores, all we are is customers of foreign-made products. And how long do we expect working-age and able-bodied Americans to make a living and have job skills and all that sort of stuff? So please do support our theme and make sure you look at everything that you pick up and look at the label and see where it's coming. I want to say thank you also to the many people that stop to let me know that they cut to the chase and they walk right over to the store clerks and ask them to point out the selection of American-made products that they have available. Believe me when I tell you, some of those clerks are stymied by all of these questions, but it's questions like this that is making a real impact on what we're doing here in the USA. Well, today with me, I have the very well-known Rich Logis, and of course, I have the very, very well-known Mark Andel with us. And I am also here with Henry Chaplinsky, our engineer, doing, as always, a great job to make sure this broadcast sounds the very best. I'm Michael Blihash, your host, and I thank you for spreading the word, because let me tell you something. It is unbelievable to hear the reactions from people that after they watch State of the Union messages and all, what they have to say about what they hear there and what they hear here. Now, Larkin is in the city of Philadelphia this week, hosting meetings of the East Coast group of the SCORE, and he, in fact, is at the Cultural Center building, hosting them here at the Polish Center. But he won't be on air today because he's the host, and he, as a host, he has to be there every second to make sure everything goes well, so he'll probably be back with us again next week. Well, Rich and Mark, I'm going to depend on you today to really let your thoughts be well known. We have a lot of things I want to put on the table today, because we watched many people, millions of people watched the State of the Union yesterday. And I was just to say a few words is jobs for Americans was not the focus. There was no discussions on trade deficit, how we can change this job-killing thing in our country. There was no discussion on how we're going to get the national leaders together to talk with private sector businesses to help us not only maintain, but also restore jobs in America. There was no discussion about how we're going to educate our young people and future generations will be able to benefit as a result of people who are in leadership right now. None of that was discussed. All we talk, and by the way, no mention of how America's national debt doubled in the last 8 years. None of that. It seemed like it was a great PR job. And I don't know. Rich, I'm going to start with you today. Did you see the State of the Union?
Yeah, I recorded it, Michael, last night and watched it this morning in anticipation of coming on. I just want to make a quick mention, Mark. I often talk about the SCORE event that we did up in Orlando when you were honored up there, and Larkin was there. Yeah, Michael, a lot of times I think a lot of business deals are always made at the bars after the event.
That's very true.
I just think that that's the case. Some people tell me I should learn golf, get on the golf course. You know, I could drive the golf cart around, but I don't think you can drink and drive that thing. So, you know, it's always easier for me just to be stationary. What a great event that was. Larkin was so kind to invite us, and Mark was honored. Deservedly so.
And we had yesterday a special guest, Alan Dom, our new councilman from Philadelphia. He came and he spoke to the meeting representatives, and they were not only from Philadelphia, but they were from several surrounding states that came in. And they went out yesterday. They enjoyed a dinner, and today, again, they're going to be celebrating it this evening someplace. But as I passed through the meeting, these are really quality people with an agenda. It's a shame we don't have people like this in national offices, because these are the kind of people who would really get things moving. Yes, Rich, I cut in on you.
Well, Michael, my overall impression of, I think once all is said and done with Barack Obama's presidency, is going to be a lingering feeling and just a lingering disappointment that there were a lot of missed opportunities. I wrote to you guys last night in a private email that I have always said that a president should be allowed at least a moderate margin of error. And with another election coming, it gives people a chance to again think about this job and the many responsibilities and the great high degree, I believe, of unpredictability that can occur on the job. Now, having said all that, Michael, where I think the missed opportunities will probably show themselves are in the fact that I don't think that President Obama ever shied away from the fact that he wanted to be primarily a president of symbolism. I believe his entire campaign was rooted in this. I believe many people voted for him simply because of the color of his skin. That is a very politically incorrect thing to say. However, the truth is the truth. We're now facing the same thing with Hillary Clinton, where you'll have people, specifically women, who will go and decide to vote for her strictly because she's a woman. Those are things that are rooted in symbolism. And even if we allow, Michael, even if we allow certain degree of symbolism for every president and politician, it's just one of those things we've got to live with, right? There's certain things we live with, and we deal with it. But I don't think the president's ever shied away from that. I don't think that President Obama has gotten everything wrong. I mean, I want to make this clear. As I always joke, if you do anything for 8 years, Michael, you're bound to get a few things right here or there. I don't think that everything that he's touched has been bad. I just think that he very deliberately has invested a lot of time that could have been better invested elsewhere. And the things that Obama has gotten right, I really wonder, Michael, in my heart of hearts, if I ever had a chance to talk to the president privately, I really wonder if he cares so much about what he's gotten right compared to the things, the symbolic things that he's put front and center. You know, and what are some of these things? Things like having a transgender movie night at the White House, or renaming a mountain, or flying his wife to Africa to talk about education. You know, these kinds of things. And I could go on and on and on and on about these kinds of things. So he hasn't gotten everything wrong, but I do think that there's going to just be, after his presidency is over, I think we're going to look back, and even with that allowance for a margin of error, I think we're going to be disappointed. Having said all of that, would John McCain or Mitt Romney have been any better? I mean, we'll never know. We'll never know because they weren't elected. So I can't sit here and speculate as to that. But what I do know is that Mitt Romney and John McCain were not elected. Barack Obama was elected. So we're going to try to objectively view his presidency. But the thing that I take most from his presidency, I feel, are missed opportunities. So that's my assessment of the last near decade of presidential politics.
I agree. Richard, by the way, I have to tell you this, that when Barack Obama was campaigning prior to his first election, everyone said this is going to be a historic presidency. He is going to uplift the people of this country. He's going to address and put things on the table that people didn't have the opportunity to keep a go on it, because he is a biracial. He is a biracial candidate and at the time, and he is still a biracial president. And he had many opportunities, as you said, and they were many of them are missed, because in 7 years, I don't know of any major campaign to sit down and speak with business groups to discuss what are we going to do to bring those jobs back, not only for the people of his time, which would be the people who were working at the time, but the young people who would have been in the 10th grade, the 11th grade, who would be graduating, going on to college, and then going on to jobs. There was no focus on any of that time type of stuff. And so he missed many opportunities. And people who did contact him, by the way, and tried to get him to focus on that, were always pushed to the Labor Department, or the, you know, it was always somebody else is handling that. I'm mainly involved in other efforts, presidential
Michael,
efforts.
Can I just make one point, and then Mark, sorry, I don't want to cut in here. I just want to make, well, actually 2 points, Michael. First off, you mentioned about a historic election. Make no mistake about it, it was historic. And my fear is that it's going to be historic in part for the wrong reasons. The president he has gone to implement, Michael, the modern day progressive community organizing Saul Alinsky model. You've heard this name a lot in the election, right? You guys have heard this name, Saul Alinsky. Who is this person? You know, people say, well, I want you to know I've read Saul Alinsky's book, Rules for Radicals. Saul Alinsky was a communist community organizer in Chicago. That's what he was. So the president wasn't simply a student of him. He was a disciple of him. Hillary Clinton didn't simply study him. He's an apostle of him. And I've read that book, Rules for Radicals, and I think the president has done what he saw fit to do to advance the modern-day liberal progressive model. And I think Hillary Clinton is in place now to try to advance that. So make no mistake, Michael, it was a historic election. When the president was first elected, I remember thinking, actually, two things. The first was I had a suspicion that President Obama, this is going to be beat up on President Obama Day. I can already tell. Well, hey, if you want that job, you got to take him from all comers, right? I remember thinking when he was elected that my biggest fear was that we were going to have a symbolism presidency. That was my biggest fear. And I did. The other thing that I hoped, on a positive note, is I hoped that we could finally put so many of the racial issues behind us. I really was hoping for that. Because, you know, the people, Michael, if you talk to the average Clinton voter, the average Clinton voter is going to spend all his or her time talking to you about how terrible America is and how crappy it is and how everything is racist and everything's against certain groups of people. And everybody else who's sitting around saying, I've never done that, I'm not racist, I don't do any of that crap. Now we're at the point, Michael, where things are, you know, we've got a freight train. We've got two freight trains that are on a collision course right now. And it's easy to pick on the progressives and leave all the rhinos out, because the rhinos are the ones who have just stood by and let this new Solowinski-type model advance. That's simply what they've done. And I would recommend our listeners, last point, Michael, I would recommend that our listeners go and read Scott Paul's, where he works. He lines for American Manufacturing. And he'll go, you can read, our listeners can go read some of Scott Paul's recent writings talking about President Obama and job creation. If the president had devoted much more time to jobs, Michael, and let's say didn't get things right, I would be the first one to say, at least he tried hard.
He tried, yes.
At least he tried hard, because it's not fair to say to the president that the president, he himself, is the sole reason for everything that hasn't worked out the way we've wanted it to economically. It's not fair to say that. But if he just simply tried harder and he didn't do things, I would at least say, but he did make a genuine attempt. He devoted a lot of time.
You're right, Richard. I want to add just this before I go to Mark.
Sorry to take all that time.
I want you to know this, that one person can put things on the table. I don't see that this administration and past administrations either put enough of the things that benefit America on the table. And what the Obama presidency has shown us is that before we select another president, we have to know in advance exactly what that guy or woman is going to do for jobs in America, for businesses in America, and for the future of America. I think we have to know that in advance. And in a week or so, I am going to present the first questions regarding this issue, because we elected not only Obama, but Bush and Clinton, and it was all these campaigns and shaking hands and running around, and everybody went absolutely wild. But the plans as to what that person is going to be the real cheerleader for, the real director for, the real Mark Endel type of person for, somebody who will take something from A to Z and leave nothing out in between. And with that, I'm going to ask Mark Endel what you're thinking about the State of the Union.
Yeah, how you doing, Mike, Rich, and Henry? You know, guys, I got a few things to talk about. First, it's snowing in Buffalo, so that's helped me more than the government's ever.
And helped. I heard that you got heavy wind up there. Is that true?
Yeah, we sell snow removal equipment, and boy, do we need snow. So, but some of my workers live a little south of me, and they got 2.5 feet. I got 6 inches. It's a blessing for us, and anybody in the snow industry up here is waiting for it. But you know, I'd like to talk about the State of the Union. I actually sat and watched, and you know, my wife was on the couch with me, and I watched it for 75%. And I wanted to be wide-eyed, listen, look around, you know, just really just be open, you know, see what's sold. So, you know, I look at it, if he was, you know, if President Obama was building a big water container, I think it was painted, drawn beautiful. I think at the end, I mean, this container was beautiful. It looked good. The welds weren't that great. At the end, if you filled it up, it leaked all over. You know, I just think the problem, a couple things in there that he mentioned where the economy is the best it's been in 8 years. And, of course, 2007, 2008, I lived through it. That's where I lost half my account to China and went from 70 employees to 30 employees. Is it better from that day for me? Not so much, other than snow's heavy on our business and the oil industry is big on our business. He touched on the oil industry and he pushed the alternate fueled gases and things we've got to do for the future for climate control and change. The oil industry right now, a lot of people don't realize, the rig count in the United States of America is generally around 2,000 rigs, operational rigs for oil. Right now it's at 600 something. It's incredible how down it is in the last year, and that's because OPEC and Russia and all the things going on in the world, they deflated, they devalued the oil. It's cheap. That we're trying to be self-sufficient. It's just not rolling. But what he failed to connect was there's so much research development that goes with the oil industry today, because right now I'm very down. My customer that I do oil work for, oil and mining, has laid off almost 400 people and employees in our area So the oil industry, the fracking in Pennsylvania, Mike, and Ohio, everything's down. Even in National Fuel here that sells natural gas is down. Their stock is down 40%. So the oil industry today, the fact is it's cheap at the pump for the people for disposable income, but it's hurting and killing the industry right now. So I live off the oil industry, so I didn't like what, you know, he talks about alternate fuel and the windmills and all that, but that's way out there. That's a great idea, but we need work today. And he brought up the TPP, you know, the new trade deal, and he's pushing to sign it, and he said a bunch of things in that. Rich, and I'd like you to go back and listen to this, but he said, you know, in that package there's 18,000 taxes that will be stopped or reduced to help products being made in America. I don't know if you heard that in there, Rich, when you listen, but there's a section in there, and I'm not sure. I want to go back on that. 18,000 taxes being reduced to help products made in America in the TPP package. So I'm going to have Bob Chesbro on real soon, Mike and Rich, and we'll get it scheduled, and he owns Wigwam Socks, and he's really educated in the TPP. So I'd like to bring him on, and I want to break that down also. I just didn't see, I don't see today the change in the economy that he's talked about, how wonderful everything is. I'm living, it's very tough times for me. Right now, 2016 is a tough year. We got to all just stay as we are, very tight in business. And Rich, I think even though you had growth last year, you agree with me, we got to stay tight. We're looking for that next job. So it was, you know, he's a great talker, speaker, PR campaign. Great. He sounded good, but lip service to me, not as much action.
Yeah, I just think, Mark, I just think, guys, that the action and so much of the time devoted were to things that, in my opinion, you know, I just don't think on a national level are all that important. You know, talking about gender things and all of these things, these are not nationally relevant discussions. I'm not going to say for a variety of people that it's not important to some people individually, but these are not national issues. And I'm not a single issue voter, guys. But I always my big one has been business. You know, I started my business in 2008. It was the summer of 08, Michael. And look, I'm not a rags-to-riches story, but if I'd come into your house, Michael, I'd have stolen the pot in your kitchen. I would have put it under my jacket because I didn't have the pot to blanky-blank in, okay, when I started up my business. I didn't. So I'm not a rags-to-riches story. We've stayed consistent. And part of the reason that we've grown consistently, even though last year, Mark, was our hardest year ever in business, the reason that we have stayed consistent and grown is because of how we've managed and devoted our time. We've devoted our time to the thing and things that help us grow. Rather than majoring in the minors, we've tried to major in the majors. And that is for a large part why we've advanced and why we've been able to grow our company.
And, Rich, sometimes it's not the to-do list you need. It's what we shouldn't do no more, right?
What you shouldn't do, right.
You know, it's not the to-do list.
That's right.
I do more of what works, right? And them are common sense things.
You know, guys, we are paying these 535 people to work in Washington on a full-time, what they call full-time schedule, and yet there's really nothing done for the benefit of our country. Oh, look at just our efforts here on this broadcast. We started with American Made Month, National Small Business Weekend. We've done all these types of the Buy American Made campaign, American Workers Need You. We're promoting all of these things. I don't know anything that's being promoted by the national people. I get all of their emails and all, but if I want to worry about what's happening in other countries first, then I pay attention to their emails. If I want to know how I can help American workers, I pay attention to broadcasts like this and to emails like ours.
Now, Mike, I missed the last half hour. Did the president mention to go out and buy Made in America products?
Never.
For your local community?
No, he did
not. I want
not.
Them to say it. You know, and I'm not saying if it's President Obama or the next or anybody could have done better. These are areas we have to focus on when we're electing this new qualified supreme leader.
Can you imagine what a difference he could have made if he got up there yesterday and started to say, I want every governor to tell me, write to me this week, what are they going to do to bring more jobs back to their state? How are we going to work collectively to make sure we reduce that federal tax? The everything, just nothing. Nothing is ever said.
Them are action plans, Mike. You could make a difference if he would have said to go out and buy Made in America products tomorrow. That would be awesome.
Right. We're talking about it. People are talking about it. Our circle of supporters are talking about it. People in stores know that we exist because of people going in. A customer walking in your door, Mark, if you had something in there that wasn't made in America, because you are the Made in America store, they would immediately say, oh, Mark, you slipped this in on your But, and that's what our supporters are doing. They're going to regular stores and saying, you don't have anything made in America? What are you doing about it? How are you going to help us resolve the job situation in this country? If Obama or any other president of the past had said that during the State of the Union or any other speech, we would have action in America. Look at the people influenced by the reports on ABC World News with David Muir. Look at the people that have told me, brought it to my attention, make sure that I hear that it's coming up again this week. It's amazing. Can you imagine what our president could have made a mark on the country yesterday if he said, go out and buy American, take the Buy American Made challenge for 30 days. I'm going to do it, and let's see exactly what we have. Make a list of what you saw in the store and what you need to buy, and which was made in America and which is no longer made in America.
Imagine that coming from the United States of America president telling people they would listen, 50% would listen. And what do we want? 50-50 fair trade. It would help every business today.
You know, when it drives me nuts when all these commentators get off and they say, oh, well, we've created 260,000 jobs in the month of December. Yeah, but I want everybody to know, and we know this, but I also wanted to be clarified because it was mentioned a few times in the last few days. Every month the media announces that a few hundred thousand jobs were created, but they also don't mention that 10,000 Americans retire every day. That's a fact. Google 10,000 Americans retire every day, and it goes right to it. The majority of the jobs are to replace those who are retiring. The sad part of it is this. In the month of December, 340,000 Americans retired, and there were 280,000 jobs created. Not when they use the word created, that's not a fact. There were 238,000 jobs filled, but 320,000 people retired. So there's a dead space right there of not enough people coming into the workforce as a result of retirement. So we're really not getting a lot of new jobs in the country. It would be great if we were able to create more private sector jobs than we had retiring people every month, but that's not a fact. We're playing games. The national news media has been playing games for a long, long time. You know, we talk about the 29 million registered jobs in America. That's a fact. People couldn't believe it. They went on Google and they checked my information. I don't say it unless I've checked it twice myself. There are 29,000. Many of them are smaller places. Some of them are lawyers and accountants. But 50% of the 29 million are companies that could hire 2, 3, 4, 5 people, maybe more, if there were more American customers going into the stores, picking up their products and buying them and taking them home. That's a fact, Mark. Do you agree?
Yeah, I mean, I had texted you guys, we're working on our store-in-store product project to supply stores of Made in America products, our brand recognition, and actually having an isolated area in these stores that have specifically 100% Made in America products. And, the top, sign, we're thinking of saying 100% Made in America products, creating and saving American jobs with every purchase. And that's why our listeners today, it's so important this year, 2016, and we don't want to get off too far because we as the consumer, again, vote with your dollar. You know, I always said it, this election's a big year, but right today, right tomorrow, this week, next month, you can make a change. Just that American buy-in, Made in America products, just think about every time you buy it, where it's made, and then how many people you've actually helped. Not only just that retail store, because that's just scratching the surface. We're going deeper. We're going to the manufacturer, the assembler. Mike, it just makes such a difference, and sometimes it's so downplayed, it's not talked about last night on that 2 hours. They could have brought it up once. And it works. You know, I'm proof that it works.
You are the example of what can be done if you put focus and consistency together.
And why today is very exciting for me. Our building across the street from my welding facility was an 18,000 square foot warehouse distribution center. We took 10,000 square foot, and today we started knocking the walls down. 8 guys are in there. This new store, new world-class destination's coming for May, and I'm excited. We've come a long way. This is our 6th year, but we've showed you can make change. Again, we're up to 7,000 products. These people help us, and we help them, and they thank me for creating and sustaining their jobs. But we can't do it alone. You know, again, we have nothing with a 110 power cord attached to it. So we have to get going, and we have to be active today.
You know, Mark and Rich and all of our listeners and Henry and everybody who's out there supporting our efforts, you know, with so many changes in the economies of these different countries around the world that are now making the products that were made in America before, we see that it's more important than ever to expand manufacturing in the USA to get at least 50% of all those jobs back. Mark, you mentioned earlier how how the fuel industry and all has taken a hit. Well, in the past, if one industry took a hit, then another 5 would be okay. So those people who were lost in the fuel industry would be able to go into the next industry. But that's not the case these days. An industry falls, and a lot of things fall around it.
Well, Michael, if I can add to this what you guys are saying, you know, this election season we're going through right now, what it's doing is it is putting front and center at the forefront a national conversation about what is it that we're looking for in elected officials and elected leaders? Are we looking for people who have been in office for 40 years? Are we looking for someone who has no political experience? This is all front and center. It's going to be a fascinating conversation for the rest of the year, especially with the primaries coming up.
You know, Rich. We want to know in advance right now who and what the president has on his mind. Let's demand some stuff in writing, not 30-second ads on TV. I'm going to create jobs. What type of jobs? How are you going to do it? How are you going to bring them back? What kind of tax relief? What kind of benefits are you going to do so that they'll be able to train employees? What is that going to be? What are you going to do for the schools to get those programs up and running? Alan Dom was here. That was the first thing. He was in our studio yesterday. I asked him, and he says, we're working on it. I asked the school superintendent when I saw him at the mayor's inaugural. I asked him. He says, we're working on it. At least they hear directly from someone like me, and they give a commitment. What commitments are we getting from these people running for office, running from rally to rally? Where is the commitment, the bottom line? Give me the bottom line. You know, during the last 30-plus years, 100,000 businesses chose to leave America, take all of their manufacturing stuff with them, and forget about America, and just keep sending the stuff over here with labels written real small where it's made, but real big what the company is that has their headquarters in America.
And Mike, you touched on a good fact. I mean, when this started to happen and everything going overseas, of course, first Japan and then China, and it'll probably be Vietnam next, but a lot of it was American companies left, 50% plus probably. We'd be shocked how many companies went over to China to build an inferior product and use the cheap labor. instead of staying in their countries. And there's a lot of reasons for that. But, that we want to be clear with. We know and we accept that a lot of American companies went there to build their product. We just don't want – we want them staying here, a percentage of it. Maybe 50% of the companies are required to stay here. We don't want them hiding their taxes in Ireland. We don't want – we've got to have a system that's fair enough and bringing these people and workers back, not for greed but for jobs, so people can not take the handouts and work for a living and provide for their families, right?
That's You're right, Mark. And yesterday was a perfect opportunity. It's the last State of the Union that the president had. If it was me, I would have said, and I want to know what the Congress is going to do to reduce the federal tax obligations and so we can bring more companies back to our shores. That small statement would have put them all on notice. But it was all a love fest. The waters are changing. The mountains are growing. You know,
no, Michael, things are. But Michael, yes, there are changes that are occurring in the country right now. And unfortunately, those changes, we got to put the brakes on them. Okay? We have to put the brakes on them. I've got a handful of people, guys, who are telling me, you know, Rich, you don't really sound like lesser of one evil anymore. That's kind of been my calling card for a while. That was Michael, my very first. If you go back and listen to my first broadcast, it was October of 2012. Me and my wife were making a change from New York to Florida. So I was in Florida in October, and I sat there and said, I have been dumb for the last 30 years because all I was around was sun and palm trees in the middle of October. So aside from that, once we made the move down, you go back, Michael, and listen to that first broadcast, and I'm talking about Obama and Romney, and what I commented at the time was, I'm not really sure there's a big difference between them. Is it substantial enough?
I do remember that, Rich.
So the handful of people I know who are saying to me, I'm not really lesser of one of you, I have to say that I respectfully disagree with those people. And I'm going to tell you why I respectfully disagree with those people. Before you guys knew me, years and years and years ago, I had said that the way that I saw the Democratic Party, what I saw with this party in particular, is that they were going to continue to move more and more and more left. And then I said, I doubt that most of the Republicans will fight them. Why? Because, Michael, it's easier to just – it's harder to fight.
Let's go along to get
right?
along.
It's harder to fight. No matter what happens – see, here's the thing, Michael. No matter what happens with guns, you guys notice that the people who hate guns the most love the protection the most? No matter what happens with guns, Mark, the rhinos and the politicians, they get their armed guards 24 hours a day. No matter what happens with the trade deal, Congress people can still buy and sell stock legally with insider trading information. So I don't think that I'm changing my tune, Michael. As a matter of fact, I voted the way I did and communicated this message the way I did because I saw this coming. I'm an idiot because I have not been able to make a living out of it. That's the only place I'm an idiot on this because I listen to most of the media people, and I'll school every single one of them because nobody can beat me in this political game. No one, because I've been paying attention for almost two decades. So I have to respectfully disagree with those people that say I'm becoming one. I will say this point, though. Hillary Clinton makes lesser two evils sexy. I will say that point. This I will say. I will only concede that to those who are saying to me, you know, Rich, you don't really sound like that anymore. No, I think that I am because I don't let – see, the difference is, Michael, the progressives, you know, they pull the trigger. The rhinos, they drive the getaway car. And ultimately, is there much of a difference between them? Unfortunately, the case is no. And I'm not paid to support and sponsor and be a spokesman for Donald Trump. There's a lot of things about Donald Trump and Ted Cruz that I don't like. But isn't it interesting how disliked both of them are by the Republican Party? Of course, we know the Democrats will never like them. Now, Ted Cruz and his father were just called satanic. Are you guys aware of this? So Trump and Cruz, if you combine the insults, they're Satan, Hitler, Islamophobes, bigots, racists, misogynists. Am I missing anything? Homophobe. Did I miss anything?
This is the time of this is the time when the insults come right out, because this is what the Alinsky agitator model is rooted in. Oh, Mark said all lives matter. Call him a racist. Oh, Michael said don't infringe upon the Second Amendment. Call him a gun nut. Right? You guys understand my point. So I have to just say, this is my one moment here as we're entering the new year. I have to respectfully disagree with those people. I don't believe that I'm changing my tune. I am simply observing what's happened. And I said years ago that if left unchallenged, you were going to have both parties become crappier and crappier over time.
Rich, did you catch the Tonight Show?
Especially the Democratic Party, which is moving so left that they think communists are right-wing conservatives.
Hey, Rich.
Sorry, Mark.
No problem. Did you catch the Tonight Show Monday night when Donald Trump was on with Jimmy Fallon?
I got it recorded, Mark. Haven't watched it yet.
Oh, okay. It was interesting. I thought he did a good job. Get a chance, take a listen to it. He was point on, focused. You'll enjoy it. But again, touching on the problems and
you know, guys, as I listened to the president yesterday, I also said, could you imagine the impact he would have if he pointed his hand to all of the elected people and said, you know, before I leave office in the next year, I'd like to see a plan to restore 50% of the companies that left America over the last 30 years. Let me see a plan to get them back here on these shores. That wasn't said either. You know, they said, oh, jobs, we're cooperating with everybody. We're making sure security starts when people have a job, able to support themselves, able to go to bed at night and feel good about themselves. Security is not just guns and somebody guarding outside your door. I'll give you a good situation. I was at an inaugural event, and I happened to speak to one of the politicians, and it was not a good situation because I said to him, you have to help us promote the Buy American Made campaign. I said, you are a very well-organized person, well-dressed, well-presented. And I said, when you go shopping, take a look at those labels. This is what he said to me, which I almost fell dead, and of course I freaked out. He said to me, oh, I have other people shop for me. I have a wife who takes care of all the shopping. I don't go to stores because I don't want people stopping me. And I said, well, this is part of the problem. This is really part of the problem. You're not seeing what the day-to-day person is going through, the hardships. You're not in a line able to see a person needing to pay the bill with money as well as food stamps. You're not really knowledgeable of it. Well, I'll tell you right now, if he had guards, I'd be taken away, but he didn't. We were in a part of the auditorium where I just said to him, I'm disappointed. When you hear about our efforts, you should hear our disappointment, because here you are being paid a good salary to do a job and you haven't been in a store in years. Could you imagine that, Mark?
I know.
Maybe you should invite all of your elected officials to go come to your store. Invite them for a coffee and cake reception, a public relations reception, and then invite them to another store and say, let's see who has more jobs or is concerned about more jobs in the USA, the Mark Andel store or these other places.
Well, my grand opening for our new world-class destination store is Armed Forces Day, the weekend before Memorial Day, May 21st. So anybody listening, they're invited.
Well, make sure, Mark, I'm asking you, I'm pleading with you to make sure that every elected official, and I get some of the newspapers from up the Buffalo area, and I know and I see a lot of those political people put their, you know, pictures in the paper, all kinds of special greetings to the veterans and Happy New Year and this and that. Why don't you look through those papers, make sure all those that are projecting themselves as good community people, get them to your store. They're in Buffalo. They're in Chittawaga. There's one in Jamestown, Jamestown, New York. It's not that far from you. We have a listener up that way. Get those people to come in and be part of your grand opening party. And I'll tell you, you'll be very surprised what comes from it.
Because that's great idea, because we're sending a save the date now, but why not? That's the big time. Get everybody together, both sides, any side, as long as you got a pulse.
And also, this is also the year people are going to be putting out their lists for sign my petition to be on the ballot and all. Let the people come and meet the people who are signing their ballots and welcoming them. Let them get some votes. I mean, if you're doing that in Armed Forces Day, that's already going to be after the primary election. So you can say, well, okay, come on and bring the election to our doorstep. Tell us what you're going to do to promote jobs so that people will go out and vote for you in November. You have a great possibility. I myself am directing many of my efforts in the next few months to new ideas that I've been working on, because it's just too much. It's too much. We're going to see another election come and go because the American people got used to the fact that whatever we get, we'll just have to be satisfied with it. We can't allow that to happen anymore. And I will say this, Rich and Mark and everybody else listening, Donald Trump, no matter what happens in the future, Donald Trump has put many, many, many issues on the table, issues that we would have never seen discussed or even considered to be discussed. And I think he's going to put more issues on the table. What I want from Mr. Trump is some plans. I want from Hillary some plans. I want from Cruz some plans. I want to see what are they really going to put on the table. We saw what we got in the last 20 years with everybody saying nice things, shaking hands, and people running to rally and taking pictures with these special elected wannabes. Well, now we have to change our way of doing things. We need to talk to people who say, I want 50% of the companies that left our area to come back, or replacement companies. I want those buildings that are now sitting vacant on the highway filled with some level of a store or an employment, a manufacturing place. And when I say manufacturing, before I go back to you, Mark, when I say manufacturing, I don't only mean the people on the line, because from every manufacturing job comes a bookkeeper, a salesperson, a manager, a person who orders the supplies so that the manufacturing continues. There are many jobs created from every item that we wear and every item that we use in our homes. We just don't have them made in America anymore. Yes, Mark.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And a lot of people don't realize we can, with technology, with automation, really be number one and build quality products in the United States. It's very doable. Yes, we've got to start, small and get back to it. I just, there's a lot of enthusiasm. My customers have been outstanding this fourth quarter that we just came through. They really believe we've got customers for life through the Made in America store and project. So that gives us a lot of hope. And we want to go after the younger ones that don't quite understand and raise awareness, educate them, because a lot of them just don't know. And I think Mike and Rich and Henry, we could do a great job with this show. We got to keep that going. Stay positive on, the people, the workers' side. Even with this new project I've got going on with my new store, to go meet the workers every day, even the demo crew, the construction guys. These are guys working every day hard, paycheck to paycheck, and I think that's a huge disconnect in Washington. They just don't understand how hard it is to work for a living. Even I heard Rich with some of the gun talk when Obama, they interviewed different ones and the police officers. The one guy had said, geez, what do you live in a woods? You shot a gun at, 13. I shot a gun at 10, and it was, target practice, and it was fun and a sport, and I hunt. That's okay, So a lot of them just don't know. They've never been around it, and they're uneducated with what we're talking about sometimes.
You're right, Mark, and there's something that you said which brings attention to another situation I was confronted with over the Christmas holidays. As I was going to various events, a few people came to me and said, I listen to you guys regularly, and I have to tell you, my son would like to give you some advice. He said, keep this up, because he went to school for 4 years. He's out of school now for 4 years. He's got $48,000 or $50,000 of school debt, and he has no job in any area that he studied for. So the young people are starting to see for themselves what is happening. Maybe 10 years ago, the job market was a little different. You could get into something and then move your way up in some organization or some company as someone retired or moved to another position. Those companies out of the country leaves less opportunity for those jobs to be filled. The job of the president is to be the main cheerleader. If I was up there yesterday, I would have given a list of 20 things that I want discussed in my last year in office. We discussed most of them today. The main thing is, how are Americans going to support themselves and be proud of who they are, what they know, what they have to offer? That's the biggest thing. And then talk about how are we going to get our businesses back. When businesses took the jobs overseas, first they said, well, we're just going to do the manufacturing. That was number one. Then they said, well, we'll do the manufacturing, and then we'll do the labeling and the promotions and all, and then it'll come here, it'll be less work on the American people. Good point. Then they got it to the point where they didn't even have to bring it to the port, open up the container and distribute it, because they pre-packaged it in the foreign country right to the door where it was going to be delivered, which took jobs away from the people on the dock, the shippers, and everybody else. So they've got it to a science, but we have to break that science simply by how we spend our green dollar bills.
And what the whole scenario you just talked about, Mike, probably only leaves 10-20% of the money in our country, where if you manufactured it, packaged it, marketed it, sold it through retail in this country, you could keep 90-100%.
Absolutely. Now let's get on with it. I mean, we've seen so much of this going on. It's true. We need jobs and job skills. We have to get, you know, maybe 2 years ago, we said that we'd like to see a national conference of governors. I did pursue that. But then they say, no, those are political issues. Those are free market economy issues, what you're talking about. To me, that's all crap. All this is they don't want to be involved. They want to go to these meetings and present awards to this governor. He served 8 years without being arrested or whatever. It's some nonsense all the time.
Yeah, we want to have confidence in our government, right? Well, we're working hard out here, raising our families, getting our piece of pie in America. We want to know they've got our back. They're doing their job in Washington. Again, growing that middle class needs to be mentioned. I didn't hear that mentioned last night. We've got to get that middle class back again. It's okay to be successful, to make money, have a swimming pool and an extra car. It's okay to be successful in America. We just want to get that can-do spirit and building that, rebuilding the American dream back.
No one ever had to be apologizing to anyone for being successful.
Right.
But now they're apologizing for not being able to get a job to their families, and who are being asked to help them. These are very trying times. I'm pleading with everybody listening to make sure that they go out and do what they do. And whenever you see me in my travels, I depend on you making sure that you let me know that you are a supporter. Complain about this or that, but let me know that you're a supporter. I also want to say thank you again as we begin our new year and our new theme, Support America's Manufacturers. I want to thank somebody like Mark Andel, who put his head on the chopping block. The Made in America store is a place I'm asking all of you to shop at. If you're doing some kind of special, what you want to give somebody, something made in America, you know where to go and get it. Go right on the front page of American Workers Radio and click on Mark's link. Now, Rich Logis, he's the RJL technology integration guy. Go on there and also see if there's something that someone's opening a store, they need barcoders or whatever. Let's talk about each other. Let's promote each other. Larkin Connolly, and he had his score representatives here. Another perfect example. You said it last year when you were down there as the guest. All these people are volunteers. People who were successful in business, they were volunteers, they're mentoring people. interested in going into business. The problem is our national leaders aren't promoting people to go in business. When you present yourself as wanting to go in business, the first thing they want to know is, how are you going to pay your taxes? How much are you expecting to make? All this rigmarole, never a welcome carpet. Do you agree with that, Mark?
Oh, I do. You know, I think, Rich hit on it. I'm glad, and thank you for promoting our businesses. And again, to people out there, the listeners, it's not even my website or my products that you see on it. Go locally and buy the products that you see. I've done the homework. We've edited them, and we got the letters of authenticity that they're 100% made in America. And again, I think that was part of my statement. Everybody can't be 100% made in America. You can't always find 100% made in America products, but I didn't want to mess around. I wanted to make a statement, stick to it. Ours had to be 100% made in America by American workers in American factories, period. And I think that has to be done and carried out. But do the best you can wherever you are. But always support local first, and if the website helps you. But, Mike, what we're talking about, Rich, today is what we've just got to keep going. We don't want to get negative. We want to stay positive. And we are making a difference. I don't want that, to slip any show. We are making a difference. So it's just time to just keep believing and doing what we're doing.
We are, Mark. And I want to just say one thing on air, guys. Excuse me, Michael. I want to pledge one thing. And I have to ask you guys, did you guys play your Powerball?
Rich, yeah, I did Saturday, and it's
930 million take home.
Yeah, I played it this morning. Maybe I'll be lucky. Guys, I want to say this. I want to tell you this, guys, and everybody listening. When someone said to me, maybe a month or so ago, they said, Michael, you're talking about restoring 50% of all items in America being made in America. That's really unrealistic. I said, why is that? Because everything is made foreign. I said, well, let me tell you this. You're only around 40 years old, but when you were 5 years old, 35 years ago, 90% of everything that your parents
Absolutely.
Bought in the store was made in America.
So it's been done.
How the hell did we get to the point where it worse than reversed?
Yeah, agreed.
So he looked at me. He said, you mean 90%? I said, yes. There was no shipping and all this stuff 75 years ago the way you see it today. Big, huge containers come in. It's unloaded. It's all from foreign made. The containers come all the way loaded to the almost to the water. And when they leave, they're so high up because they're taking nothing back but the empty containers. Time for us to stop it. Final thoughts of the day, guys. What do you have to say? A final thought today, Rich?
My final thought, Michael, is just thinking about what I'm going to do with $930 million.
Well, Rich, I'd like to see, maybe you could buy a house in every state. That would be 50 houses. And you could share that Rich Logis touch with everybody. You could go around, have a house in New York, have one in Philly, go wild. You could be the ambassador of the Buy American Made campaign. Mark, your final thoughts.
Yeah, no, to the listeners and all that put up with us every week, if your resolution this year wasn't to buy Made in America products, I pray that you do make it, at least to buy a percentage Made in America products. Ask the question. Take a look at what's going on. Raise awareness. Tell your friends and family because, boy, you'll make more change than our government did in a long time. So people have power.
You are absolutely right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, until this Saturday at 11, I wish all of you the very best. Mark has snow in Buffalo, which is good for his business. Make sure that you go out and support American Made. Things are changing, but it's happening because of people like you, the everyday American, just like all of us, going out and doing your thing. We're seeing what's going on. Until we meet again next Wednesday here at 11 or this Saturday at 11, have a great one.
Thanks, everyone. Have a great week. I hope you win, Rich.